Wait a minute, what am I doing? Two men in a what? Two friends from film school, one who graduated, one who did, and they decided to make a podcast. Okay, this has never been done before, right? Okay. This is Matthew and Harrison's Two Men in a Movie. It's not what it sounds like.
So in case you're curious, I started recording about 2 minutes ago.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry. This isn't a gotcha thing. This is a thing I figure out the intro as we go.
I think I picked that up from hearing them.
Half the time he does come with something planned.
Oh.
I'll ramble for 10 minutes and then I'll hold up a finger and then I'll do an intro.
Yeah. And I do my best to cut out
everything else.
I do my best to do what a good Stephen King movie does, and it's cut out all of the stupid. So
then why'd they cut out the orgy?
Yeah, they're not going to show a child orgy.
Well, not really a child orgy. They're acting.
Okay.
Wow, I hate that as an answer.
See, this is the shit I have to cut out. If he gives me nothing in the next 2 minutes, unfortunately, that's going to stay in.
Yeah, no, I mean, hey, I'm okay with my position on it.
I'm pro child actor or fake orgy.
Why?
Life, art imitates life.
Okay. Yeah.
Whatever gets us past this topic the fastest.
Like contemplating that in either direction. So
movies are magic.
Movies are magic.
Wow, Hollywood's back, baby.
Dude, there is so much X-reader of this movie.
You were telling me that Papa was eating good a couple nights ago.
Papa, are you serious?
Papa's eating good, less good. It's mostly smut.
Oh no! I know.
Wait, what is X-reader? Other than, wait, are you reading an X-Reader for the plot?
I like to read fluff or romantic stories.
Oh, no, that's so much worse. That's tragic.
Well, sex is cheap, you know? Love is hard. Love is rich.
I'm not going down this line.
You ask your question.
No.
Ask your question, I'll answer it truthfully.
No, because I know the answer is yes. I already know the
answer. Well, you'll know, yes.
No, the answer is that why amateur porn is as popular as it is because it's real. Anyway, the point.
It's why.
Sorry, I'm not a dirty person, but he gets me to be a dirty bird, and it makes me deeply uncomfortable.
To be 100% clear, I know the rotting puritan influence that he has on any given room.
So I've known this man for a decade.
It doesn't reflect on you.
Yeah. I'm usually pretty good at resisting, and then every once in a while,
that point, it is why I mostly watch amateur porn. I like to know that they love each other.
Yeah, I understand.
I like to know that they love each other.
I mean, okay, that's fair, except there's a they there, an ex-reader, there's a you.
I mean, if I could...
That's a good point.
You hit on a good point. The main failing of porn is that it isn't about me.
So isn't POV a thing? Isn't POV a thing? I don't watch porn. So isn't POV a thing?
Yeah, but it's not always great.
It's not inclusive enough of Matt.
Yeah, it's not inclusive enough of me.
It's not targeted.
So they don't explicitly say your name or anything. Yeah, is that what bothers
they don't.
You?
Well, also like a lot of it's like professionally done, so it's hard to find amateur POV. It doesn't give me what X Reader does, where it's about me, and so I can enjoy it.
Unfortunately.
So I can enjoy it.
Then there's a point of interest for me.
It really does feel like you don't like fanfic.
No, I like X Reader.
Yeah, okay.
I like stories about me. I like stories about me.
A true filmmaker.
You know, I don't put out like X readers requests a lot and bounties. If you just want to write Matthew X Quora, that also it doesn't have to be X reader.
So my parents listen to the show occasionally, and their current review is it really feels like you try and talk about the movie and he tries to be Howard Stern, and like that is the show sometimes. It is me wrangling him to
I'm
try
a
and
man
talk
out
about
of
a movie.
Time. I should have been a shock jock, but I was born too late. Too late for radio.
We can get you a shitty soundboard.
If you want to make the Matthew Olenchek show and keep it out of Two Men, I'm okay with
that. I want to be on the radio. I want to be in a studio. I want to bring little freaks. I want to press buttons. I want to be controversial.
Bring little freaks, yep.
What's... Okay.
You know, like, what's his name?
What's his name?
The little guy.
Who's the little guy?
He's a small black man that looks funny. That Howard Stern would have on.
Kevin Hart?
No, he's a handsome young man. Hang on. He's a handsome
guy. I don't think Kevin Hart deserved that.
Small, black, weird guy.
No.
Howard.
Just don't do
Stern.
Okay, why'd you put weird guy? You could just
Beetlejuice.
Okay.
What?
Beetlejuice.
Oh, yep. Oh, I remember him. Yeah, duh. Of course.
Yeah, being little freaks and shit.
What?
I think it's deeply upsetting you're calling real people freaks. It's one thing in a theoretical world, but this is like a real human being.
Yeah, 100%. If someone said, hey, do you want your living to be running a freak show? I'd be like, hell yeah. Do I get a cane? Do I get a little showman cane? I'd point and say, look at this freak! People toss money at me.
You can do that today.
I did. Okay, literally like a block... I don't know, a mile up the road, there's the like sign for the Tadmor Shrine thing right now. And right now they're advertising, and I'm only saying it because it's what's on their sign, but they're advertising their upcoming midget wrestling event.
Yeah, that's gotten really big recently. Okay. I'm into freak news.
That's the sort of thing that I'm like,
real people.
It's 2025. We're doing that still?
Yeah, we're all going back. We can say all kinds of things again.
Yeah, unfortunately, America's great again.
Yeah.
Okay.
It is a safe space to be straight white man again.
Yeah.
Yeah, and let me just like get out there right early on and apologize for ruining the demographic makeup.
Fitting none of the categories.
I'm so sorry. I apologize if this causes you to lose some of your viewership.
I'm hoping it might get us some, like, not our true fans, but more of the... broader,
not our true fans,
the broader queer person of color podcast audience that dominates
the rest of them,
the
yeah.
rest of them, the, yeah. The 99%
two men in a movie fans who pay $80 for it,
yeah. Mm. And understand things that only straight white man can understand, which is hard in this culture because you know we never see representation,
right? The experience of true oppression.
When we saw this movie, I didn't see representation of a straight white man on a screen. I saw Italian representation before the movie.
Shut up. God.
Was it nice to be represented on screen? By the way, that's what we were whispering about.
I know, because that's what he was whispering about a few days before when we saw the Phoenician scheme, like, and that same fucking thing played, and it's like, oh, look over there, Mel over there.
He was telling me about it, and then as soon as it showed up, he and I decided to do the bit. I don't know you well enough to like do the bit, and I'm so sorry, but I know him well enough that he would go down before I would. So.
You can dunk on Italians. It's fine.
For now.
It's never racist.
It's never racist.
Yeah, for now.
When's it gonna, when
what's
when
coming? Will... What do what's you know coming? That's ahead? What terrible pogrom on the Italian people is waiting?
I don't know anything. I got a feeling it's coming. I have a feeling the French are going to be the only ones left, is all I'm saying.
That we can dunk on?
That we can dunk on.
There's no way an Italian gets... There's no way that the Italian community gets any level of respect in this country.
Wait, what? Wait.
We can always dunk on them.
Oh, okay.
One can hope.
Because, I mean, the Irish got around it by becoming cops, but the...
Just praying for the night of the long stiletto.
But Italians are just naturally criminals, so they won't become cops.
Naturally criminals, great, yeah.
Uh-huh. Welcome to the Two Men in a Movie podcast, where each week one man shows another man a movie he can't believe he hasn't seen. As always, I'm your truthful race science loving host, Matthew Olenchek.
It's earlier in the year he was trying to pitch me phrenology.
He's always trying to pitch phrenology.
It's my culture. I'm German Polish. Respect. Hold space. Hold space for my cultural heritage of race science.
No.
Joined as always by my usually an ally to the Polish people, host Harrison Poole.
I'm an ally.
Yeah, man. Fuck the white guy. Oh.
How are you?
Black pride, dude. Yeah. I'm doing great.
I don't know what happened. I don't know what's going on.
We're joined by a guest.
Yes, we are. What name? Introduce, please.
I'm Mel. Melanie, I am here.
Hell yeah.
I have expertise on nothing related to anything. So.
Nah, she's a host of three podcasts.
Yeah.
You also went to the movie theater to see this
yeah.
movie
yeah,
with us.
I am qualified by virtue of having been present for...
And somehow Matthew convinced you to do this?
It's been a dream of mine.
In a moment of vulnerability,
every
I
night
had nothing to do on Thursday. So
it's a secret to getting her to do a lot of things is that she has nothing to do.
Is this the first movie in the from the theaters?
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
It's just that good.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Nice. I'm here for a
this is the first to do movie. Hell yeah.
Because all the ones we're going to do are coming out later.
Yes.
We're going to do Tron. We're going to do Freddy.
We're doing Mortal Kombat 2.
Mortal Kombat 2.
Wait, there's another Tron coming out?
Tron Ares.
Tron Ares.
Oh, okay.
Jared Leto.
We're both so excited.
Jared Leto's Tron, and he's coming to the real world.
We're still letting Jared Leto do
stuff. Yeah. Nine Inch Nails is doing the soundtrack.
Okay, well, that's less of a problem.
Have you not seen the trailer where they have where the recognizer comes into the real world and everyone's like, oh.
I mean, I don't remember what the recognizer is, so yeah. Look, I saw Legacy like once because Daft Punk.
Great album, it's great movie.
Yeah. Great movie.
Great movie. We just watched it over February.
Over February.
No, over March.
It's so long, guys. Yeah,
February was breakup movie and Black Klansman.
It's for Black History Month.
Yes.
Tron for Black History Month. Yeah, no. Hell yeah. Okay.
Tron was March for Dune Tron because I'm not the sci-fi
March
guy.
For Dune Tron.
Yes.
We did Tron, Dune, Tron, Dune.
On here?
He's going to make me watch sci-fi that I don't know if I'm going to like. It's fine. I like Dune enough.
I heard.
I'm going to make him watch sci-fi I know I love.
Like what?
Tron.
Oh, okay. Never mind. Yeah, that was stupid. Tron's great. That was the premise. Okay.
Yeah, Tron rules. It's utter babble. It's complete gibberish. There is no plot. And it's awesome. The second one almost has a plot.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember. There was a race.
Yeah.
There was definitely a race. And that's a plot, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
There's also a race of people.
Yeah, which is kind of what this movie's
about. Yeah, hey, thanks for circling back.
This movie
around.
also has a plot.
It's a Tron tie-in.
Yeah, Tron Sinners.
Tron Sinners. Put Michael B. Jordan in.
The Kurt Russell's skull really do point to superiority. Wow.
Kurt Russell.
Is that not who it is?
No.
Who is it?
Jesus Christ.
Oh, no. Am Jeff I first Bridges. Classing again?
She's the first classing again.
That's not Kurt Russell?
No, it's Jeff Bridges. They're the same.
You might not get
the thing I just said, because I do have to appear on this show again at some point and reveal to you the great twist of the best X-Men movie.
Okay.
So pretend I didn't
the only
say
movie
that.
She's the only movie she's ever seen to the point she's like trying to remember like a... Like there's a scene where this happens and I'm like... Is it X-Men First Class?
Oh, are you a part of All Guest?
Oh, Jesus Christ, these themes. Yeah, I guess so.
Hell yeah.
I don't know, because like what? I'm supposed to be on for that, and then I think there was a vague idea that I would be on for Boogie Nights. Have you seen Boogie Nights?
I've not seen Boogie Nights.
Okay. So I don't know. August is going to
be.
We got
to do a reverse one where we make the guest watch a movie, and we can make her watch Jurassic Park.
No, you can't do that.
Because, yeah, my...
You literally can't force me to do that.
Yeah,
I would lose one of my most important bits.
Hell yeah. I'm trying to think. We have my brother coming and we have Philip coming. They're both going to be over the internet somehow. Yeah. They're not going to drive up 4 hours to be here.
We're going to pipe them through the tubes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We would love you to be a part of our guest. look at us.
As a point.
Planning things ahead of time. It's almost like we're professionals.
That is actually pretty far out for scheduling. So yeah, good for you guys.
I do my best to schedule months ahead of time. He schedules it maybe 3 weeks ahead of time.
Well, shit, this was scheduled 48 hours ago?
Yeah, oh, less. Yeah. Less. So... We had a movie planned, and then we decided to change it because this movie rules.
The movie's so good.
You picked the movie, but I was the one who'd seen it before.
Yes.
So...
Yeah, there's really not a lot of integrity in how you guys
set up your format here. We have the loosest of formats. Basically, we're just trying to fill in each other's like film knowledge gaps.
It's vibes. We're all vibes here.
Sinners, everyone. We saw Sinners.
Oh, yeah.
We saw Ryan Coogler's Sinners.
There's a movie of the week. That's
starring great. Michael B. Jordan and his twin brother, Michael A. Jordan.
Michael A. Jordan.
See, I've been saying Sinners with Michael B. Jordan and Michael B. Jordan.
Okay. That's fair.
When they first showed up, she turned to me and she's like, they parent trapped them?
What if they're both Michael B. Jordan, but the B are different? Like, they're twins, but different middle names. But they both go by Michael B. Jordan.
Oh, I thought you were going to say, like, one's like the Beta B, like the Greek B.
No.
No.
I just mean one's
Michael
like...
Bernard and then Michael Baxton.
Sure. Yeah. I mean that, yeah. I was going to go Bill and Ben. So, like, yeah, that works.
You think he gets paid twice?
No.
No, he probably gets paid. He probably would get paid more than like his average salary. He's also working with his friend who probably paid him very well. before we start, Sinners, by the way, is the second most profitable original IP movie since in 2010. Like in the last 15 years, it's the second most profitable. Yeah.
That's grim.
Yeah.
Marvel movies.
Yeah. But it's about $20 million off from Inception, and then it's going to be the most profitable original IP movie of the last however long since the one before.
Well, it's a win for the culture.
Cinema's back, baby.
Yeah, cinema's okay. Back.
Yeah, it just beat out Gravity recently, and people were panicking. Did you guys, were you guys keeping track of like the early early reviews when it was first coming into
theaters? No, I wasn't keeping track of it on any level whatsoever because I was like, horror movie. Not for me.
That's fair.
I don't care for other people's opinions.
Basically, all of the articles, that's the word I was looking for, articles about it were like, great movie, opened to $60 million. That's less than $90 million.
Like, oh, shit, they mapped it.
And people want to be like, it's the opening weekend. It's not going to make all of its...
Awesome.
It's not a Marvel movie. It's not supposed to make all of its money back.
The issues of Marvel movies have pushed the math where it has to make like millions to be successful. And really, you can make a bunch of smaller movies that make like their money back and some... And you make a profit.
I was keeping track like a year and a half ago-ish when they announced this. That like people were panicking that they were giving Ryan Coogler just a budget to make a movie. Like,
Because it wasn't
based on anything. It was like people were panicking of like, what does this mean for cinema that we give a director and his co-star friend a real, just a budget, not even a big one, just I mean, 90 million's like a decent budget, but like it's not unheard of.
Right, like, no, it's 2025. It's
like, yeah,
some money.
Yeah, like I want to say Nope was 70 mil. So like it's in the same ball. Like it's a budget. It was just insane. And then when it was coming out and people were like, it didn't make all its money back opening weekend, Ryan Coogler should be panicking. And we're just like, it's opening weekend.
It's going to be in like the theaters for like a month.
Yeah. For
most movies.
It's made enough. Maybe another one. Like, it might be in theaters for another month or so. It's made enough money. We're just shy of, like, between 350 and 400 mil, which is fantastic.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
But it's not that Iron Man money.
It's not so the $2 billion that, that Avatar 2 needed to make to break even. By the way, Avatar 2 needed to make $2 billion to break even.
How did that end up with a blank check?
I mean, Avatar was the most successful movie of all time.
How did that happen?
Titanic was the most successful movie of all time.
Trudy?
Michelle Rodriguez, their character, Trudy?
No.
Jesus Christ, okay. No,
but James Cameron got the blank check from Titanic. I want to say he got that blank check from Terminator. So Terminator, or T2, led to Titanic, led to Avatar, led to Avatar 2.
Which will lead to Avatar 3.
Yes, but in between, Alita came out. But he didn't direct that, he just wrote it.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, Robert Rodriguez directed a James Cameron script, and it's the best of maximalist cinema.
It has that awful man, Hugo?
Yes, Hugo. Oh, all your homies hate Hugo.
All my homies hate Hugo. What a Hugo? Piece of shit.
Oh yeah, I hate that guy.
Yeah, see, you're a homie.
Yeah, all the homies hate you. Yeah.
I forgot for a second.
But that's not this movie. This movie is
no Sinners. Hugo's here.
This is Ryan Coogler's blank check from the Black Panther movies.
Right, but I'm imagining not the last time we're gonna talk about Robert Rodriguez.
I hope not. Just in life?
This episode.
I'm truly maybe, to be absolutely honest. He's a man who's gotten so many blank checks. Well, and like half of them haven't cashed.
He did give us Vespas and Star Wars.
He also gave us Spy Kids.
He gave us Spy Kids. And where would we be without Spy Kids? I mean, it truly is some of the best children's media out there.
So Sinners.
Oh, yeah. There was a movie.
Oh,
yeah.
We saw it in theaters. I was levitating in my seat. Movies are fucking magic. Holy shit. It's awesome. Cinema's back, baby. So, this movie follows Michael B. Jordan twice. Well, technically, it follows a church boy son named Sammy, who's a guitarist.
Preacher boy.
Preacher boy.
Son of Soldier boy. Sorry, Father Soldier Boy.
Anyway, it's I forget the exact date. It's like October 19th, 1916 or some shit.
Holy no, shit, I did not get the date.
1936.
It was 36? Because at the end, it's like 92, so it's like a huge jump. I didn't know if it was like a huge jump or a mini, like a huge jump. You know what I mean?
a huge jump or a mini huge jump?
So Sammy's on an adventure with his cousins, both played by Michael B. Jordan. They're trying to start a juke joint, a club, space where black people can hang out and
gamble,
drink and gamble and dance, and sing the blues or play the blues.
Dance the blues.
Or dance to the blues, yeah.
Any of those things, really.
As long as it involves the blues.
It's gotta be the blues.
I mean, eventually, they seemed towards at a certain point kind of keen about having some Irish music.
Did they?
Well, they were possessed. Well, Stat
was kind of warming to the idea. And to before.
I mean, he was warming to the fact that they had gold.
No, before that, he was like, oh.
He was like, yeah, they're okay, I guess, but he still didn't want to.
He was bobbing his head.
He was humoring them.
Yeah.
I mean, they weren't bad.
They were fine.
Bad. No such thing as a bad ethnic jig.
Rocky Road to Dublin rips. The whatever the other one,
the Wild Mountain Time.
Pickled Robin.
Yeah, I pickle Robin boy, or like I pickle Robin before he was 15. I don't know. I don't remember.
Something felt wrong. I wasn't really following the lyrics too closely. It didn't seem right. But
I checked out after a minute.
It was about like picking them clean, but there's not good eating there.
Yeah. Because they're vampires.
Yeah, you're really tipping his hand. Spoilers, there's vampires.
Well, he's spoils it in the first 90 seconds of the movie.
No.
Does he?
The opening narration is about evil, and then when he opens, goes into the church, and the pastor is like, drop your guitar, and it shows flashes.
Well, there's some, flashes of something fucked up, but nothing about it specifically says it's vampires up until that point.
Maybe it's just all the marketing. Yeah, it's maybe just like, the oh, it can just like drop, he can,
there's people who can play so good, it can summon the spirits and everything. And you know, the spirits can be good guys.
Yeah. I described this film to Joe as what if From Dusk Till Dawn had themes.
Did he get that?
No one got their toes sucked in that roadhouse.
But if you think about it, it's an entirely different movie until the vampire shows up, and then it's not a horror movie for the first like hour.
I had a friend tell me the opening was too slow.
They're wrong. Who?
Honestly, I kind of liked the first half more. This is a weird comparison, but what I was thinking of later was that it kind of reminded me of Life is Beautiful.
Sure.
In as much as it's just like, oh yeah, this is a pleasant period piece. I really like these guys' lives. This is kind of like bucolic and nice, and yeah, they're farming, and I mean, yeah, the economics of it all are pretty bad. Yeah, there's racial politics here that are dog shit, and that's, you know, not going to change for a while, but all in all, it's pretty good. Oh god, they're killing everybody. Oh no, whoa.
What if
Nazis just appeared?
What if Life is Beautiful was From Dusk Till Dawn?
yeah.
I mean, she thought that the ending was a bit of a kitchen sink thrown together, and I've heard that a few times. I don't think it's correct, but it's not as wild a take to me.
I guess I can kind of see that.
Yeah, my only real issue with the ending with Smoke is I think he should have been shot more than once. To justify the, like, yes, he was shot bad, but the way he was shooting everyone else and half of them were still like half alive.
Yeah, to be fair, he like got what, like shot in the side?
Yeah, like he got shot bad. I'm not pretending that like it was not, nothing. It just
he got but, like, shot in terms of movies, that guy lived.
He got shot in his living organ.
His living organ?
Yeah, the one that makes you live.
Oh yeah, okay.
But
my mom's a nurse.
The life sack.
The life sack.
Yeah.
Even then, like, I loved it. It's great. Is it a kitchen sink, or is it Ryan Coogler found a way to tie all loose ends together?
I mean, you're correct. I think it's I don't think it's a correct opinion, but it's more reasonable to me than, man, all the setup.
But you need all the setup for there to be
people out there who are mad it took as long as it did to get to a vampire attack.
I don't think you can cut really anything from the first half of this movie. I don't think you can trim much. I think this is an incredibly well-paced movie.
Yeah, I'm like trying to think of anything that really could have
I mean,
could trim seconds off some things.
Yeah, maybe, sure. But there wasn't any, there were no, like, extraneous scene. Like,
no.
There was nothing that was like, wow, that felt really unnecessary. They just got their people together and went there. Like, they it was a pretty, like, straightforward, like,
even
they just
the,
did
like,
a couple of
yeah.
crucial steps.
Yeah.
And got
even
there.
The, like, walking across the street to the store, you can technically have, like, jump-cutted that. That's a
but
cool
why,
shot.
No.
Why would
you couldn't, that? Because that's part of the storytelling. The
yeah.
fact that the same immigrant family is
yes.
serving both the white side of town and the black side of town.
And the fact that she overhears the conversation and then doesn't hear the second half,
mm-hmm.
and then overhears the conversation with her mother the second half, but doesn't hear the first half. And, like...
Yeah, no, that was a part that I was super enthusiastic about.
I love that shot.
That's great.
That's just good storytelling.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, if it's going to be a movie about the racial dynamics of Mississippi in the fucking 30s, maybe show the racial dynamics of Mississippi in the 30s?
Yeah.
Like, this is in Mississippi, right? I'm not
yes.
first-classing the state, right?
It's... Yes.
Okay.
It's Mississippi because they mentioned the Louisiana Bayou, but it doesn't take place in Louisiana.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure
it's Mississippi.
Yeah. Because I know they flee to Louisiana and then their dad's evil and so they go up to Chicago.
Okay. Yeah.
So they would have to
dad's evil.
At some point they went to war. I'm unsure. Did they go to Chicago, war Chicago? Or on the way to Chicago, did they go to war?
How old those guys are supposed
or
to be?
Or is the... Yeah.
It's a short war. And they left really young.
I mean,
young.
We weren't there for much of it. Yeah, so
and
that's fair.
If they left young, I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Maybe that's how they got out of Louisiana and then from the war went to Chicago.
I do feel like that was the implication.
He's got his trench knife.
And he's just an expert marksman. He's just like a hella good shot.
No hesitation ever, really?
No.
It's one of those scenes that was like not supposed to be funny, but when he guns her down, it was so funny because it was just... fucking love him.
When he pulls, like, without second thought, just pulls the gun on the woman in the club when they're doing the thing.
Oh, shit. I don't like garlic.
He's like, I don't fucking care. Like,
no, it's yucky. It's like, bitch, look around. What the fuck?
Where
do you think you are right now?
It really was nuts. And I'm like, is she supposed to be like a... No, I think she just thinks it's really yucky. She's having a really bad reaction. It's garlic. Who doesn't like garlic? It's the one thing.
No, I don't know many people. I know a few people. I don't know many people who just eat whole cloves.
You're not some fucking white Protestant woman who can't handle any flavor.
No, listen, garlic is good. I enjoy garlic. I also understand...
2025, Harrison.
Yeah, garlic is good. Garlic is
good. Hey, I'm pro-Italian. Controversial take.
But like,
you used to be pretty anti-garlic, so I'm proud of this growth.
Thank you.
I wouldn't be here if you were still anti-garlic. That would be the line I had to draw.
Understandable.
Mm-hmm. I mean, honestly, if anyone told me they were anti-garlic, I would insult them very meanly to their face. Like, what the how do you like garlic? Like cloves, sure. You want to eat whole cloves?
No,
sure,
that's
I
what
guess.
I'm saying.
I get it, but you're still like, yeah, it's you know, it's garlic.
Yeah,
it's got allicin. It's good for you.
So
yeah, let's see. They were working on a juke joint. They got food.
They hired the one blues player and we also meet Haley
Delta
Steinfeld. Delta Slim, and we see Haley Steinfeld in that same scene, but he bribes Delta Slim with $20 and Irish beer.
Her character, of course, being, as far as I'm aware, Mary Sinners.
What?
That's the tag. You have
oh,
to look.
Jesus. Okay. Yep.
Oh, okay. Oh, I hate you. I hate you.
Sorry. We weren't AO3 pulled
I'm
enough
sorry.
For that.
I said,
I'm not
like,
horny
what am
enough
I gonna
for
put
that.
In that. What am I going to put in? I can't just put Mary. I wrote Mary Sinners, and that's the tag everyone's using.
Of course it is. They got Delta Slim. They got the cornbread. Who was picking cotton in the field with his wife.
I love that guy. What else have I seen? Obviously, I've not seen him in anything. But what else have I seen?
A bunch
him
of things. He's a face more than he is a name.
Yeah, I just...
He's like Peter Spall. Is it Peter Spall?
Let me look it
Timothy
up.
Spall.
Oh, yeah.
Who's
yeah.
just... He's,
that is either.
Peter Pettigrew.
Oh, yeah.
He's in a lot
yeah,
of
yeah, yeah.
stuff.
Oh, yeah, I know. I
was on a my friends had a podcast a while ago called Spall Talk. which was they bring on guests to watch a Timothy Spall movie.
I feel like
Spall
you have movie. Mentioned that before, yeah.
Shout out to the Jacobies.
So Sammy's preacher boy. He's the son of a preacher.
he's the only one who could ever teach me.
Yeah, his father... his father doesn't like the whole blues... just in general, he doesn't like the blues. He doesn't like the philandering and the drunkenness mm-hmm. and the sinning against the Lord. But you can't tie Sammy down. He's gonna be a rock star. He's gonna be a blues singer.
He's gonna be a blues man.
The same way as it was completely not anything to do with the badness of the cousins. I do like that the father was right incidentally.
Yeah. The father also doesn't like the cousins. I think one, because the cousins are like free birds. They're
he
just
knows
like
what the cousins are about.
They like, yeah. They're like criminally, but also there's implied he doesn't like the cousins because of their dad.
Well, yeah. I mean, he knows how much his brother sucked.
Yeah. They also killed his brother. So like, oh, also
they would have sold me if two identical twins came up to me and said, hey, I'm Smoke and I'm Stack, I'm sold, I'm in their corner forever.
Oh, me too. I mean, I was
looking to help you with, what do you need?
So Smoke and Stack are twin brothers, both played by
the
Michael
Smoke Jordan. Stack twins.
The Smoke Stack twins, really Elijah and Elias Moore. But Smoke and Stack, they kill their dad and they flee to Louisiana. All of this is before the movie. And then they fight in the war and then they go to Chicago where they rob Al Capone. Or that's the story. No one really knows the story. They robbed the Irish for the beer and they robbed the Italians for the money.
And the wine.
They robbed they robbed Al Capone for the wine and the money, and they robbed the Irish for the beer, and they're pinning them against each other.
Do you think they only took beer from the Irish? That's the only thing they got out of that.
In my heart of hearts, that's all they took. Well, they just needed to take. I mean, I think they just needed to take something to like get them against each other, and they just happened to be like, "Well, this is the thing that benefits us."
I will say it is a point of pride that for the Italian people, they did have to take money as well.
Yes,
the cost was higher to piss off the Italians, and that's a point of pride.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Italians have a lot of things that keep them happy. If you take away an Irishman's beer, ugh.
So they go to Chicago, they steal, they buy a slaughterhouse from the Klan, and they're going to turn the slaughter...
Nothing could go wrong.
Yeah, exactly.
What could go wrong?
And they, specifically from the Grand Dragon, which we only know he's the Grand Dragon because the vampire happened to eat his nephew.
To be fair, they did bring a trunk of weapons.
Yes.
And what could the twins do together?
That's the point, is they were unstoppable.
They were not
together.
Worried about the Klan. They were right to not be worried about the Klan.
They only became vulnerable when they became separate.
One thing I didn't understand, they were planning to jump them the next morning?
Yes.
That's weird.
They were going to let them have their fun and then they'd be hungover and they were going to...
They just assume everyone was just going to... sleep in the bar?
They're
they
stupid.
Assumed that the two owners were going to be there.
Oh, were they just there to slaughter the two of them? Yes. It really seemed like they were trying to get the whole town. But
I think the two of them were the main targets.
And they were kind of okay with any collateral.
Yes, exactly. Or at least that's what I took from it.
Okay. Yeah, that makes more sense.
I like how the alternate cut of this is that the Klan goes in the bar and gets killed by vampires. Like, there's the Klan doesn't win in any scenario in this movie.
I would watch the shit out of that.
I would.
I would 100%. Dude, vampires fighting the Klan? So we should make that movie.
We can make it the sequel to Blackula.
There is a sequel to Blackula.
The sequel to Blackula.
Okay, we can do that.
We can do that. Yeah, we can do that. Yeah.
On the dock in Blackula 3.
What do the rights cost? $5?
Listen,
it's one vampire series, Michael.
So where are we? The twins are badasses, and they only become vulnerable when they get separated.
And they're color coded. So are the cars.
Yes, Smoke is blue, and Stack is red. And Stack has like a rimmed hat, like a cowboy hat, but like, not a Stetson, but like yeah. that style.
I'm going to be honest. There was no point in the movie where I figured out which one was which.
And then Smoke hat was blue with the paperboy hat.
And then he drove the blue truck and he drove the red car.
Smoke was married with the dead daughter to the voodoo lady, Annie. And Stack was red with the fakes, the pseudo Stetson.
No, you can't be saying they look the same.
I mean, they looked the same to me. Oh, you're I don't know what to say.
All twins look
I,
the same.
I am saying that all Michael B. Woof. Jordans look the same to me. I think I know it's 2025. That's a pretty fucked up thing for me to be saying. That's insensitive. But
also,
I cannot tell one Michael B. Jordan from the other Michael
smiled.
B. Jordan.
Smoke was all about
and Smoke would never really smile.
Smoke was about the money and his dead daughter. And Annie, who I'm guessing is his wife, at least the mother of his child, yeah. who they had love each other deeply. And Stack was red with the Stetson, who was in love with Haley Steinfeld, who killed him and became a vampire.
Goals. Goals.
So Sammy is with the cousins, and then they go to the truck, and there's a snake in the truck, and then they split up. Word.
Super important we let you know about that snake.
Guys, there was a snake there. That was the main theme of the movie.
Exactly.
There's a snake in my truck.
Doesn't matter what happened to the snake. Doesn't matter what happens in that scene of the snake. Just know that there was a snake in that truck.
Exactly. The snake was trying to attack him, and the cousins worked together and killed the snake.
They really focused on the snake bleeding out. We got a lot of that snake bleeding out. And it was fine.
They could only get one take of the snake bleeding.
Yeah.
They had to use it.
Yeah, Michael B. Jordan actually did that.
There wasn't even supposed to be a snake in the truck.
Yeah, he just did that.
He brought the snake and they were like, wow, that was great.
Yeah. He and his twin, Michael A. Jordan, were going to brain sync for a second. Weird that they're both credited as Michael B. Jordan.
Yeah. But, you think they couldn't tell them apart?
Almost. I mean, they were color coordinated, so probably.
If Ryan Coogler couldn't tell them apart, then I don't feel
they have different
insensitive.
Facial hair.
Yeah, true.
Did they?
Yeah.
Oh.
So
you just can't see faces.
I'm not paying attention to them, I guess.
You just can't tell people apart.
So
twins, you're fucked.
So there was a snake in the truck. There wasn't supposed to be the twins' brain melt.
As opposed to the snake that's supposed to be in the truck.
Yeah. They killed the snake. And it's a brilliant. They just kept it in the movie. That was improv.
Yeah, it was great.
They just improv the theme of the movie. And then they split up. Stack is going after the blues musicians and white woman. And Smoke is going after.
We're trying to avoid white woman.
Well, he loses. He loses his way if he's trying to avoid. He's trying to live forever.
Just to be clear, she's not white.
So Smoke is talking to Lily's the daughter. What's the mother's name?
Annie.
No, Annie is Annie is Smoke's baby mama wife.
Grace,
thank you.
Okay.
Lily's the daughter, Bo is the father, Grace is the mother.
Oh, I didn't know there was someone named Lily.
Yeah, Lily was the daughter. Oh, yeah, okay. The kid's name was Lily. But so he goes to visit the family at the corner store split between the two halves of town in the brilliant storytelling shot of Lily walking across the street.
And that town is fucked, by the way, now that they've lost their only shop owners, who apparently did everything in that town.
Yeah.
They
made signs. They gave stitches.
They knew about real estate.
They sold flowers. They sold flour.
They got that perfect. They got that perfect setup. They got literally right across the street.
Uh-huh.
Probably waited a year. They're like, I want to buy that place, but that place looks like it's going to go under, and we need to have direct line of sight.
But yeah, and Smoke is shooting people in the kneecaps because they're trying to steal from his truck. He teaches the child the rules of the art of the deal, and
I feel like that was supposed to be vaguely that was just kind of sweet.
I think it's supposed to be sweet.
Yeah, I think it's supposed to be sweet. I think it's like...
It shows that he's like, he takes care of his community.
Yeah, also, I mean, it was community-minded.
I don't know.
I
forget when the daughter died, but that child may have been around the age his daughter would have been.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, it is interesting because when...
We saw her as a baby in heaven.
Well, yeah. Because they couldn't have gone directly from the war. They had to have been here after the war.
They were gone for 7 years. Now, whether that was they were gone for 7 years mm-hmm. or they were gone and came back intermittently for seven years.
I think it died as a baby.
Yeah, the daughter died as a baby, so the daughter would have been around
and
seven.
You know, he doesn't shoot a single person that doesn't deserve it in this movie.
Well, I guess. I don't know. That one kid who had already walked away from the trial. Like...
Well, no, you can't. He explains his logic, and his logic is sound. Yeah. You can't be going around how you almost stole from the Smokestack Twins.
I, for one, would feel
and not
very,
have
I
a
for
scar
one,
for me.
I, for one, would feel very safe around the Smokestack Twins.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess.
But they haggle, they agree to make a sign, and they agree to bartend, and Bo does security, bartend, he's just kind of there.
Who's Bo again?
Husband.
Was he doing security? What was he doing? He was just kind of lingering and having a good time.
He was the manager.
Okay,
he's keeping an eye out on things.
Yeah, I guess he was, because he was the one who was just like, thanks, folks, for coming out, we really appreciate you.
Because Annie was cooking and doing bartending, Grace was bartending... Smoke and Stack were socializing and managing, and then Bo was managing. And Cornbread was security, Delta Slim was security and playing the blues. Sammy was just playing the blues. Playing the blues so good that he travels between time and burns down a building in his magic. And then the vampires see him.
Yeah, they sense
vampires love music.
Yeah. Well, I think they specifically loved Sammy's music because he had the ability to transcend the dimensions.
I love that we got one traditional fun vampires where they have to follow dumb rules. Great. I like that even though he's the villain, he's still sympathetic. Great. I like that they didn't do a weird twist where he's like, actually, he's racist.
Sure.
I like that he just has his earnest belief, which is harmful.
I like that he's sympathetic, but he's also the villain.
The way he's going...
Right.
They didn't like try and get you to agree with him.
He has a good idea, but the way he's going about it is bad.
Yes, sure. I mean, the idea of unity and life on Earth can be heaven family. Yeah.
And I mean, it is interesting. I like that they decided to do that through the lens of someone who actually does have some idea of the impact of like colonialism and like an occupying force. Like, if you were going to make it anybody rocking up with that, like, set of, I don't know, mentality, like what he was selling, it's good that it's an Irish guy.
Yeah.
Like
1500 years old, direct word of mouth.
Oh, we figured out when Christians came, Ryan said
was like he's like 1500 years old.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
And yeah, no, he like the I love that the villain's motivation is I want to have a community, and he just,
well, that's the motivation he says. There was also, I don't know if that's even, I mean, the villain could be lying, but he also wanted to just reconnect with his family, and Sammy could do that for him, in theory.
Yeah, he wanted to reconnect with his
culture. Although
he was
going to kill him, do they retain their powers of the spirit realm if they're turned into a vampire? Was he going to turn Sammy?
Yes.
I think he wants to...
Because he was trying to bite Sammy a couple times.
Oh, yeah, okay.
I think because everyone kind of... There's the hive mind, so everyone's kind of sharing his beliefs.
Yes.
And they're all also earnestly like, hey... Like, when they prevent Annie from becoming a vampire, it's legitimately devastating for them. Because, like, you'd be part of the family. I think he legitimately just wanted to have this great community where everyone shares their culture, and he was just going about it the wrong way because he's a vampire.
Yeah. Like, he was trying to have one culture. Yeah. He was trying mass assimilation through hive mind.
He's trying to make like he's trying to make the great melting pot. Because like I was listening to it.
But was he? Because yes, he spoke the language. But like he would, if they're all one brain, aren't they all one culture? Like if
well, they're not all one brain. They're all, they get each other's memories.
Sure. Yeah. You know what? Never. You're right.
Because
I'm gonna back off on that.
When you listen to Rocky Road to Dublin, there's more of the more like African music influence as it goes on.
Yes.
Yeah, but there was also clearly behavioral change in the people who returned.
Yeah, because they're committing to his like beliefs. They're absorbing his beliefs, which is that everyone should be part of this big happy family. We should all play music together.
See, but at the same time, like their way, the way they were talking, everything felt more sinister. And I guess is that because we're human and like
yeah,
we
I think
interpret
it's...
that as. Is sinister. It's not actually sinister.
Yeah, like, I that's what I'm. That's what I got out of it.
Like it's a threat.
Sorry, I was trying to guess.
It's a threat and it's dangerous, but it's not coming from a place of like malice or sinister ideas. It's just that by his very nature being a vampire, his way of going about it is not good.
Right. So the idea of assimilation into one hive mind culture is good, but the way you assimilate everyone,
or the idea of being one community.
No, I know. I'm purposefully
is good.
I'm purposefully being dense. I'm doing what you do.
But the idea, I was born stupid, I'll die stupid. None of it's a bit. Okay. But the idea of being part of one community is good, but when your way about going it is hive mind, that's not great.
And in order to achieve hive mind, you have to kill people, thus killing part of the original culture.
Yeah.
Huh. Yeah. Huh. I guess there was a
message
there.
What if From Dusk Till Dawn
Holy
had
shit.
Themes,
Whoa.
Guys?
Okay.
What if
yeah,
it was
yeah,
like
yeah.
trying, what if From Dusk Till Dawn was social commentary?
Or I would even put it as, the kind of like, because like, that's how the Irish survived, is they assimilated into American culture.
Yeah.
That to assimilate into a culture, you have to give up a huge part of yourself.
Which would make sense why the vampires would be Irishmen.
Yeah, and you see it in the end, like, how much did, like, Stack and Mary have to give up? And that, now they have to literally change who they are each decade to fit in.
Yeah.
Although, I mean, they were clearly, I mean, he was not hiding that he was Stack. I mean, they just kind of have to go to a different place.
Yeah, but he's also like, I don't like the...
I mean, again, also, this was the 90s. It's, you just walk outside and then walk back in and
can you play,
to be somebody else.
Can you play the original, can you play the blues on like an electric guitar? Like he is out
Charlie
of place.
Charlie Patton / their dad's guitar.
Yeah, he's out of place. He's lost, he's lost the cultural foundation he was standing on, and now he's kind of just adrift in time.
I don't know, maybe this is, I was looking at it, as things were more or less fine. Like, he seemed like he was chilling.
Oh, yeah. Things are more or less fine.
Well, he's been doing it 7 decades at that point.
Uh-huh.
Six. He's probably used to completely reinventing himself.
Also, things are more or less fine, but he did have to give up a part of himself to have that that level, that way of freedom.
Which is when he says it's the last time I saw my brother. Like, it's the last time he and his brother were connected, because like yes, he had the hive mind family, but he didn't have his true family.
True. Yeah,
this movie's really good, guys.
Yeah, no, it's great.
I do love the Native American vampires. He show up and say, oh, white people racist, all right, good luck.
Yeah, fuck them. Let's go home.
Were they vampires?
No, they were vampire hunters.
That's what I thought. Yeah. I thought you said...
No, I said vampire hunters.
Okay.
Yeah, it did sound like he just said the Native American vampires.
Yeah, I was
that's my favorite band.
Vampire Weekend also would have been an excellent alternate title to this movie.
But where were the other 2 days?
It started on Saturday and ended on Sunday.
Oh, you're right. Shit.
It was a vampire weekend.
It truly was a vampire weekend.
Maybe the real vampire weekend were the friends we made along the way.
I also like how much Remick, the lead vampire, just like is upset by things in this movie.
Yeah,
this like you throw garlic water and he's like, "Fuck!" He, like you hit him in the head with like a thing that is silver, and he's like,
yeah.
"Shit!" because I don't know, like so often it's like hissing and shit.
No,
I love
he reacts like a dude.
They're dudes.
Some Irish
they're
dude
dudes
getting fucked up.
Vampires are dudes. I like when a vampire just reacts like, "Oh fuck!"
So
shit.
If we haven't explained it already, vampires take over the juke joint. Kind
oh, yeah.
of.
Yeah, yeah. Things
of.
Happen.
They
well, there were some things in the juke joint before that. I think we were telling a sequential.
Yeah. So the juke joint is losing money because Smoke is a better businessman than Stack, but Stack is the empathetic one. Almost like that's like a thing that they need each other to coexist. The juke joint is losing money. Sammy summons spirits from across time.
Of everyone's culture there.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Of like a Jimi Hendrix, Jimi Hendrix electric guitar with 90s turntables.
It felt like, very funkadelic. Like yeah. it was a little more.
It was, yeah.
The like spacey 70s thing than the 60s thing.
We had some Chinese dancers.
Oh, yeah.
Not a didgeridoo, not an oboe, but like a woodwind. Esque instrument.
But yeah, no, when the Chinese dancer showed up, the shitty thing is my mind was just like, oh, 5,000 years of Chinese culture reborn. Oh, it's oh shit, how much did Falun Gong pay but to get China before communism in this movie?
All of the humans in the juke joint are like lost in the moment.
It's great.
And so they don't see that he's transporting across time. But the vampires see, and the lead, Remick is like,
so much sauce in this bad boy.
Yeah, right. Remick is like, I'm gonna use Sammy to get my friends back. Mm-hmm. Because in the narration it says that some people play music so good that it transports across dimensions, and Sammy has that magic power when he sings about his father and wanting to get laid. It's weird that that song is about both at the exact same time.
Daddy, I gotta get my dick wet.
Seriously. But Remick is like, I'm gonna use him to see my friends. But he can't be invited in.
Right, like a wholesome motivation. You could just ask.
Yeah. and then Haley Steinfeld goes, first they do a little jig about pickpocketing Lil Robin, but he was 15, and they're turned down. And then Haley Steinfeld's like, I'm white passing, they're white. We should absolutely I can talk to them, and they give her gold and turn her into a vampire. Because also her mom's dead.
It was not a good week.
It was one of my favorite things they do.
The day before they buried her.
Yeah.
They buried her on a Friday, and she got turned into a vampire on a Sunday morning.
The shot solid that they do a lot in this movie, I really like, is when Remick's doing a vampire thing, they cut it like instantly.
Yes,
because like when he gets cornbread, you see like just him for a moment in the back, and it cuts.
Oh, I did love the jump on her.
Yeah, because he does the vampire levitation. He goes whoop, and it cuts.
Yes,
that was great.
And yeah, they invite Haley Steinfeld and they invite Mary in, because of course they would. It's Mary.
I would have backed. I would have merely backed up with the gun on them still.
Why? At that point, why?
If I'm worried enough about a group of people to point a gun at them, I'm not at any point.
But Smoke is away and at panicking point, about money, and Stack is trying to get laid with Mary and panicking about money.
No, right, I'm saying at that Mary. Point, the literal only thing they were concerned about was there were some white people and maybe we can get money from I'm them. Saying, they weren't at the pull when gun Mary stage went
out
yet.
There. When Mary went out there and she pulled the gun on him.
Oh, that. Oh, okay. Her.
Yeah. Oh, sure.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant when she comes back in. No, Cornbread should have pulled a gun on her, and it's just like, for what?
No, if I were her, I would have kept the gun on them.
Also, Sammy, because he plays the blues so good, he can travel through dimensions. He's gonna leave the town. He's gonna leave his preacher father, and he's going to get laid. And he's going to Louisiana, and he's gonna travel the road. He's gonna be a road dog blues musician. And
he Smoke, also gets laid.
Yeah. And Smoke is
Rex a home. Big fan of that.
I know
he is immediately a homewrecker. Good for him.
According to Matthew, Matthew's a big fan of
homewrecking. That is an official stance of this podcast, is homewrecking's good.
Oh, really? Okay.
I will tell you everything after the record. Okay, Matthew? You don't need to say it. I will tell her after the record.
Okay.
Because, anyway, I don't have much of a stand on it. And Smoke is like, don't, like, be a preacher, because this is evil. We're evil. Don't be around evil. And Sammy's like, well, I'm going to be a blues man. Take that, cuz. And he pulls a gun on him. And he doesn't shoot him because, I don't know.
That would have been a bit much.
But he did tell him to.
Yeah.
He would have been entirely justified.
He was just trying to scare him.
If someone tells you to shoot them, you're justified in doing it.
No,
I agree.
No court will convict you.
If you have... Well, he didn't because there wasn't audio recording. But if you, like, get assigned and have audio recording and let it all be consensual, it's not murder.
Yeah, that's... Look, I am only a legal adjacent professional. That scans.
So Haley Steinfeld gets turned into a vampire, but they don't know it. They invite her in. She sleeps with Stack and turns him into a vampire, and everyone disperses, leading everyone into the outside to all of the vampires. They really...
What a plan that was.
Listen, they didn't... What I love about this movie is everyone reacts the way a human would react.
Yeah, and everyone keeps making completely sensible mistakes that they had no way of knowing were mistakes.
Based on the knowledge that they have, no one made a dumb decision.
True.
Like, everything made sense based on the knowledge that they possessed at the time. And you can track and follow the logic. It's just the fact that Ramek is 1,500 years old.
Right. Nobody accounted for
omniscient vampires.
Supernatural powers.
Omniscient hive mind vampires. Yeah. Who, as soon as they bite, they get... No one counted on the fact that the moment you turn, you get all of their memories.
See, that is why the first time I encounter anything, I always assume it's supernatural. Because then it'll often very easy be proven it's not. But I'm ready.
Yeah.
So you gotta have your code word, so if someone from the future comes, they can tell you the code word only you know, and then you know they're from the future.
Stack turns into a vampire. They get Stack outside. I forget exactly how. Him was the pickle garlic, or was that Haley Steinfeld? How they got her outside?
They shot her a bunch, and she ran out.
Oh, that's right. He shot her. He
unloaded,
like,
two masks.
She lifted that, like,
she says,
I'm sorry, I bit your brother. It's
says,
still
I
me.
Can explain. I can explain.
Oh, yeah.
And then he just double gun empty mag.
He does the exact thing he should, and she just reacts like it didn't. Like it was nothing, because it kind of was nothing.
And runs into the night,
and yet he still doesn't think something supernatural is going on, or he does, but he doesn't care because his brother's dying.
Yeah, it was a little. There was still a little bit of that. Like, no, we're still living in normal reality.
I think
denial
it's, yeah,
going on
it's
there.
Shock. Yeah, he's desperately clinging to what he knows to be true, while also accepting his brother's dying, while also accepting the thing he saw happened.
Yeah. How did he not process that quicker?
Yeah, right?
Well,
yeah.
Shock. Like,
how did it take him a full 7 minutes?
Man.
Like, you see any, like, actual... stories like people, when people are like telling stories of like alien abductions and stuff, it's always there's shock.
Yeah,
like when you see something you don't understand, it's not in your worldview, you just like you kind of like a
so it's Grace, Delta Slim, Annie, Sammy, the Perlene, the wife, the married woman who Sammy homewrecks.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. Smoke. And in some shots, there's another person.
That
and
poor
in
guy.
Some shots, he's not there.
Yeah.
Because, are we talking about the guy who passes out?
Yeah.
Yeah, oh, poor guy.
Because in some shots, when they show the group, it's only like the five of, there are five or six of them. And then some shots, he's just like off to the side.
That poor fucking guy. I love, that was such a good sequence of just like, oh, that's not, fuck.
But and they can't let him in because what if they already turned him,
right?
Because they find a guy face down in red liquid, and that's what they have to do the vampire test. They throw the body outside because it's gonna come back, and then they do the vampire test. Slim like is like, oh, he's a vampire. He's like, no, I'm just drunk as shit and I'm anxious. I'm fucked up. And they go, and then Annie's like, are you sure that's blood? And he walks over and like tastes, and he goes, oh no,
it's Italian wine.
God.
And then Cornbread eats him.
Uh-huh. It's so funny because he's like, I'm sorry, I didn't pay my tab.
I swear, I'm not trying to cheat y'all.
Because Cornbread gets turned because he takes a really long, he has to go take a piss, and he's just like gone forever.
Yeah.
I loved that. I had to see a man about a dog. I had to take a shit.
And he's trying to get in. He's trying to like be polite and trick them into letting him in. And then Annie's immediately just like, what is wrong with you?
I love the scene because they all get into it immediately where they're like, and he's like, hey, come on. They're like,
we all need to start being polite and loving each other.
Like, which is
So vampires, they all hive mind. They all do Rocky Road to Dublin. In
their pre-siege Rocky Road to Dublin
in a great dance sequence,
and then you really get the eyes. Which
officially makes this movie perfect. Mm-hmm.
And you get
this
movie
was excellent, and then the dance sequence happened
because they have like the cat eyes going on, and that's all in the background.
The golden
got Mary in a bloody dress.
Yes, they got Stack with an open neck wound.
He's looking fine too.
Hell yeah, baby. Bo in the saddest, and truly what might be the absolute saddest twist, when they Grace and Bo are like, we need to get out of here, go start the car, which
what the fuck, man,
makes perfect sense. Yeah. You track it.
Although at that point, they know there's like some supernatural shit happening.
They knew supernatural shit. The vampires had not shown up yet. Okay. She had been shot and ran away.
Okay.
That has maybe Stack had been awake. Okay. But that's all that had happened.
No, I don't think Stack's awake yet.
Stack didn't wake up until...
I don't think he's in the building when Stack wakes up.
Maybe not. But is like, freaky shit's going on. We need to get home to our daughter. I'm going to go start the car. In the truly the saddest moment of the movie, I think, because that's everything they did was correct.
Yeah.
and then Grace, it sees that Bo had been turned, and Ramek starts speaking Chinese, talking about Bo performing cunnilingus on her.
Big theme of this movie.
Yeah, this movie was real into this eating pussy.
Ryan,
Sammy Boy homewrecks by performing cunnilingus on Pearlie.
Ryan had one of his messages besides like the ones we discussed was, hey, eat your woman out.
Sure.
What? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Okay, is that a controversial statement?
No, I'm just saying that we're talking about how it's in the movie.
Oh, is that one?
Ryan
of the
has a scene where he has a character explain how to
you
do it.
You keep saying Ryan, just first name, just Ryan.
We're buds.
Yeah. Okay.
Do I have to bleep Ryan's name?
It's just that there's another Ryan.
No, I don't know the director.
Ryan Coogler?
My buddy Ryan.
Yeah, he's been talking about Ryan.
I thought you were
Coogler.
Talking about the existing Ryan.
Right, exactly.
I thought you were talking about Maid, which Maid woman.
The fucked up thing is, it wouldn't have been like weird
because I'm on a podcast talking about a movie
Ryan was rambling to me about cunnilingus, and it's like, yeah, that scams.
No, it's
about
a movie.
Listen, I've had two conversations with Ryan, and that scams.
The theme of the movie, Ryan, my buddy Ryan who made the movie... Director Ryan.
Jesus Christ.
Telling the audience to go down on a woman.
Yes. I agree. Anyway.
It's like there's parasocial and there's whatever the fuck this is.
He invited you to the cookout.
You're like people. Okay. You're like people who for funds call Robert De Niro Bob or Bobby, but you're not Martin Scorsese or Brian De Palma. Which is insane, by the way, that they just casually refer to him as Bobby.
Yeah, if you're friends with him, okay.
Where were we? Vampires take over. Bo is a vampire. They threaten to go after Lily. Grace freaks out. Reasonably so. Grace has a very reasonable crash out. She's wrong.
Yeah.
She's wrong.
She's wrong.
It's so reasonable. Every 90% of people would react the exact same way. Maybe not to the point where they say, come in, motherfucker. Like, maybe not to the point where you invite them in, but definitely the crash out is reasonable and the desire to do so.
Like, I want to fault her real bad. It's hard to. It's really hard to.
In her head, she's protecting her daughter.
Yeah.
Question,
it's like, okay, then
question.
Just run
can
out
you
yourself.
Revoke it?
What?
Could they have revoked it?
Can you revoke consent?
I don't know. How
to go
that
inside?
Work?
Because no one tried.
Chains inside a house. Can you revoke consent from a vampire to go inside
Because if
house?
She says, hey, hey,
sorry, I needed to
come
do
on in, motherfuckers. And then someone was just like, never mind. Yeah, they have had to stop.
What if Smoke said, actually, I own the place. You're not invited.
Never mind. This is not her house.
This is my place. You're not invited.
Well, you know what? Smoke,
how does that
maybe
work? Does it have to be the owner's threshold?
It would make sense.
I mean, that would make maybe more
Maybe it's anyone can invite them in, but the owner can uninvite them. But at that point, I think in that point, he's just like, it's game time. It's like, unfortunately, it's game time.
Mm-hmm.
And they bite Annie. He kills Annie. Annie beforehand is like, don't let me turn. Mm-hmm. She does the zombie movie thing where it's like, don't let me turn, kill me beforehand. And he does. And genuinely upsets Mary and Stack, and leads in fights. Smoke can't steal Stack. Can't steal Stack. Smoke can't kill Stack.
Can't steal him. Can't. Dead.
Smoke can't kill Stack. And makes off screen makes him promise that he would never go after Sammy. Ramek.
Which, okay, why did he agree to that? What made him stop and agree to that?
That's his brother.
But no. The vampire. Why did the...
That's his brother.
Yeah, but okay. But everything else seemed like they had completely changed in terms of... that's where...
But he still had the moment, like, when he's talked... he says, it's still me, like, when he first rises. And when he talks outside to Smoke, when he's trying to convince him to go vampire.
I viewed it more as, like, a psychic brainwashing, where their views have changed. They've absorbed a lot of the views of the original vampire, which makes them agree with him, but they're not like puppets.
Right.
Mm, yeah.
Because if they can survive without their leader, then that implies that they have, while they are hive mind, they also are their own separate.
Right. I guess I was almost taking that as like, okay, once he dies, then they're disconnected. Like they don't die when he gets disconnected.
I think the hive mind's more just that there's like a psychic connection.
Yeah.
But more so that just that they have that their memories and feelings and stuff have been kind of mixed together.
Which is why he only saves Mary. Like, he only grabs Mary and they run.
Mm-hmm. And where did they go? I was wondering, for the day.
A hole?
Where did they go? Did they
a hole just, in the ground.
Right next to the forest. They did not have far to go. Like, sun was coming up. They had like 2 seconds
they
to get under
inside
something.
The log.
So did they just like lay on the ground all day and then go?
Yeah.
I don't know. I not an important detail, but I was just kind of like laughing at the idea that they just like found a ditch and laid there all day and then did something for 50 years or whatever.
Yeah, they were in love and they lived together in harmony.
Bought his records.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they bought Sammy's records.
Which is such that's one scene I'd love to see is just, because they had to be so happy. They're just at the record store and they're like, is that little Sammy?
Yeah.
Like there was definitely the moment where they both got like really excited.
That's
when
Sammy
saw
Moore.
It.
That's my little cousin.
They got like super excited.
They got
that
so
store.
Happy. Oh my God.
It really makes it seem like the movie does not consider being turned into a vampire to be a bad thing.
I think it's one of those pros and cons thing. I think it's sacrificing agency for like.
But also it definitely makes you more malicious.
Sure.
It changes you as you're a person. It's not a total loss. A lot of things will have vampires be like a total negative.
Right, no.
But this is not like, you can be happy as a vampire.
I think you maintain your base personality.
Yeah.
And you maintain memories of whatever. So even, I mean, it's implied that there's still the connection afterwards. But even if you don't have the same emotional attachment to those memories, you remember that you had the emotional attachment to those memories.
Yeah. And I mean, this isn't a drawback or anything. It just kind of seems like it's fine.
But that's his brother.
It seems like it's fine. Like,
but yeah, he doesn't kill Sammy because he promised his brother.
Annie was kind of overreacting.
I mean,
Annie, this is a bit much.
What's about the going to heaven?
Maybe it's she wants to see her daughter.
Oh, she's practicing witchcraft. She's not going to heaven.
She went to heaven. We saw her.
Yeah.
That wasn't heaven. That was just Mississippi.
Well, it's with her daughter. That's all that matters.
Yeah.
All that matters is that the three of them are together.
He got pulled in.
Whether it's
it.
Heaven, hell, or purgatory.
Are you saying your baby didn't go to heaven?
Was it baptized?
I don't know if they're Catholic or not.
Most Christians believe in the age of accountability in general. So if it's before the age of accountability, they automatically go to heaven.
Oh, I, well, so, I don't know. Sometimes the unbaptized babies end up in hell's waiting room.
I said most. I am not.
Is this not a Catholic podcast?
It is.
It's unfortunately a very Catholic podcast.
this is a Catholic podcast, right? Those babies are in Sheol.
It's unfortunately an incredibly Catholic podcast. Sammy goes back to the church.
Mm-hmm.
The dad's like, put down your guitar, son. And he doesn't. Instead, he becomes a rock star. Smoke kills the Klan, dies in the process, smokes a cigarette in his last moment, sees Annie and his daughter in like this flashback / Heaven's Gate moment. Mm. Where it's like, you put down that cigarette and I'll let you hold her. And he does. And he grabs his daughter and he dies. And it's this beautiful moment where both brothers are dead and they're both separated, but they're both with their united. They're both with their new families.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, in the end they did both get what they wanted. So I guess, happy ending.
They both got what they wanted without each. Is it
without each other? Yeah.
Because I think what they really wanted,
you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think what they really wanted was the five of them living together in one three-bedroom cabin.
We really need to make sure that we are using a multi-family dwelling.
Who's in the third?
For this scheme,
the daughter. The daughter grows up and gets her own room.
Oh, so I just, like the
this is ideal.
The
world.
Ideal, the, not, ide- the, ideal yeah, yeah, yeah. The ideal situation from where they started. The ideal situation
this
overall.
This is what they want. This was the life that they stole from Al Capone for. But he kills the Klan. Sammy becomes a rock star, a famous blues musician, or not even maybe not even famous, but like a professional.
Maybe not like the most famous, but he has records in stores.
Yeah, he's a professional.
And it seemed that he owned that club.
For like, did he own it or was he a regular?
I don't know.
Because I think they implied that he was a regular in the way that Delta Slim was a regular at the old
club. Yeah, I guess he could have been. I don't know. I think was me interpreting him calling him boss literally. But yeah, he could have just been calling him that.
Or it could have been literal. Like that's, yeah. But
because an Italian man did call me boss at the deli and I did not own that.
So Stack and Mary see Sammy at the end of his life. They offer to turn him. He declines. He's like, I've lived enough and I need to move on.
But let me play you the blues.
But yeah, and Stack is like, we bought all your records. We love your records. I don't love the electric stuff. I liked the real, which is a pseudo Bob Dylan reference, but also like yeah,
Electric Sammy controversy.
Yeah. And he asked, do you still have the reel? And he does. He has like a refurbished version of their father / Charlie Patton's guitar. And he plays them one last little blues song that's like not even a full two verses and a chorus. It's like half a verse and a chorus.
And that's good enough. That's all we need.
They hug
and they go about their way.
He gives him $200.
He gives the bartender $200.
He puts money on the
because he buys them. He buys the whole round of drinks. They all leave. Mary wishes him a happy life. They have this moment of like, shit was fucked up. It was actually like a horrible night, but the day before might have been the best day of my life. Was it that way for you to Stack? And he's like, no doubt about it. Absolutely. It's the last day I saw my brother. It's the last day I saw the sun. And it's this beautiful moment between the two of them of this mutual like this mutual love and respect for each other, mm-hmm. but also honoring Smoke. And it's Mary and Stack walk away right away into the sunset.
People are leaving the theater for we're like, no.
I know.
No. The people next to us definitely stayed because we were like, no.
Yeah.
Because I saw them start to get up and they sat right there.
Uh-huh. We told them. It was like, there's one more scene.
Yeah. And they try to walk past me. I'm like, there's more.
And Sammy just sits there. He watches them go. He takes a last drink. Sinners. So good.
Really?
Cinema's back, baby.
Cinema's back, baby. This is so good. Everything about this technically, like, very well technically directed, very well technically directed, expertly paced. All of the horror decisions make sense. Sorry, you were trying to say something?
No, there just was one thing, and I looked into it a little bit later, and I kind of agreed that, like, yeah, they wouldn't have done this by mistake, but there was an interesting thing in the church scenes in particular. There's always been this issue of literally showing black skin on film.
Yeah.
And it in some of those scenes, particularly like when it was looking at the father,
it's basically a black face.
It seemed like it had that same, it looked as if they had fucked up. Yeah. You know, but it's fucking Ryan Coogler. No. He knows how to shoot black skin. Yeah.
As I was watching this, I thought it was a decision. I think it's the decision of, even though his father is a man of God, his father is not the correct decision.
Mm-hmm.
Also, like I said, black people know how to black
right.
skin.
Right. It's like it's Ryan Coogler. I think he knows how to shoot a black person. Yeah. Like
I agree. I was actively in the theater thinking that was a beautiful shot. Like mm-hmm. having seen the movie and then watching it a second, I didn't catch it the first time, but watching the movie in the theater the second time, I was like, that's a brilliant decision.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it does make a ton of sense
that his father's a man of God, but his father is also the dark side of Sammy's life.
Yeah, like, and by the end, I kind of got that, but at the beginning, I was just like, wow, they still fucked that up. They still can't get we're still doing color bad in 2025. I was just like, no, he knows what he's doing.
No, it's just,
he can handle that. I will say, kind of glossed over it, but the baptism, like the final fight.
Oh, when he starts saying the prayer and then Remick joins him in it.
Yeah, that was spectacular.
And when he's like 15 or however many years ago, a man said those prayers. Mm-hmm. I hated that man and I hate what he stood for, but those prayers are beautiful. Like, mm-hmm. and he just smacks him with the guitar.
I mean, at sunrise, everything about that was portrayed as like an old timey, like black church baptism.
Yes.
And it was, ugh. So good.
We really did skim over that. That's
on fire.
That's a brilliant scene. Thank you for circling back.
That was the one that like stuck with me the most, just because like everything about that was just like the angle of it on everything. Like everything about that was just fucking.
Also, logistically, perfect. The fact that like of course the guitar is silver, but only like this little mm-hmm. part would be silver.
Oh, that's so good. The old like, I don't know if it's a dobro or whatever, but that style of guitar just smashing into his head.
But you wouldn't think about it. You in that moment, he's just like, I need something to get mm-hmm. him off of me. And then when it slices through him, basically, it gets like stuck in his head.
And he goes, "Fuck!"
Yeah, that's great.
I'm gonna piss real quick. You guys need to talk.
Okay.
Oh, we're allowed.
Go in my grace.
Oh, okay.
I don't hear fucking talking.
I'm sorry.
I was debating on leaving this in or not.
For the folks at home, Matt is still pissing. Oh. Yep.
I might hard cut. What I might do is be like, I'm gonna go take a piss. You guys can keep talking. Now it's the conversation. where was I going with this? I want to see Ryan Coogler make more movies. I want to see Michael B. Jordan become an official like movie star if he's not already.
See, yeah, and I guess that's why I'm kind of I was kind of surprised by you asking that, because as far as I was understanding it, I definitely thought he already was.
Probably with black audiences and white audiences knew him. He was famous, but like
he's not studio. He wasn't studio leading man yet.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, is he officially a studio leading man, or does he need one more?
Yeah.
At this point, he has to be.
It'd be wild if he wasn't.
In what world do you not get an original IP greenlit that makes $350 million in 2025 and then not become a huge movie star? But
I don't know the other worlds. I can't name them, but
that's fair. Anyway, I want more movies like this. I want all movies to be this movie.
It would be nice if we got more vampire movies again. I feel like they kind of fell off for a little while.
It's a recession indicator.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Vampire movies go away during the recession?
No, they come back. They come back right before and or during the early bits of recession.
During recessions or times of trouble, but vampire movies are usually made mm-hmm. to reflect like current social anxieties. Like Nosferatu is very much like a Spanish flu.
Nosferatu was Spanish flu. Dracula was the early 30s. Twilight was 08. I mean, there's more in between, but those are the two that come up off
vampire
the top of my
movies
head.
Tend to be big when there's social
Queen
anxiety.
The Damned was just a fucking 9/11 allegory.
Yeah.
Like, it came out before. Did it come out before?
Listen, I think
I don't know. Whatever. Was Aaliyah already dead? I don't know.
I think the fact that this movie is as popular as it is bad for the country, but I think it's great for
it's
the
bad
country.
Bad for the country.
Yeah. I think it's bad for the economics of the country. I think it's great.
Vampire movies do well when there's social anxieties.
But
like,
I do think it's
stated
good,
fact.
But it's good for the economics of the country if
now,
we
does
go back
this,
to Hollywood.
Does this slot into the cannibal wave?
I would have to do more research.
Okay. I only know the vampires because I took a class on vampires in film and television. Like a few of the lectures were documenting like the connections to vampire surges in film and television to social anxieties of the time.
And zombies, new zombies represent different things depending on whatever ailment.
No, I've
is
definitely
going
heard
on.
The zombies. Are
but yeah, vampires.
Thing. I
are...
guess I never really thought it extended to like all monster movies. Well, I mean, yeah, I guess Godzilla's nuclear holocaust.
It is. It truly is just the Japanese dealing with the
King Kong. What if there was a monkey?
There's a monkey.
The, well, we talk about monkey. The difference between American and Japanese Godzillas.
But no, she's right. Like King Kong is the natural fear of what if I was in the city, a place where I think I'm safe from monkeys, and now there's a monkey and he's really big.
There was a monkey.
And he's big.
What if Jack Black was...
What if Jack Black brought a monkey?
P.T. Barnum with monkey.
What if he brought a monkey to my city and now I'm not safe?
So, this go watch Sinners if you haven't already. I will definitely be buying the Blu-ray, if not 4K, of this when
it comes
out.
Yeah, I have the pre-order on my card.
Fuck yeah, dude. I'm going to. This is my favorite movie of the year so far. Keep in mind, I've only seen like half a dozen movies in the theaters.
I think so too.
But this is my favorite movie of the year so far.
Of the year so far, have I seen? I mean, this, The Phoenician Scheme. What is? I don't know if I've even seen any other movies in theaters this year.
Yeah, I never remember. What I'm always like, that happened this year. And it was like last year. So
That's fair. No, but this movie's great. Go see it. Do you have anything you want to plug at the end here before we do socials and sign offs?
Y'all should be growing food. You should do that. The infrastructure is going to break down. So get your victory garden started now, y'all. That's
he's going to go into her
Vampire cinema's back.
Vampire cinema's back.
So grow your own food.
Yeah, the ports are closed. So that's what I'm plugging. You can find me outside.
Hell yeah. Socials, I guess.
Yeah, I can do socials. If you want to follow us on Instagram, we're Two Men Movie Podcast. YouTube's Two Men and a Movie Podcast. If you want to email us, there's still the $5 bounty on an X Cora fanfic or Matthew X Cora, I guess. It, you know, it's for me. I will do $10 for a decent Mary Sinners X reader / X Matthew fanfic.
So is it X? Do you want X? Do you prefer X Matthew specifically?
I do not prefer it specifically, but I will accept it as the same.
X Matthew.
If you want to follow me, it's Midwest_magician on Instagram.
But you can find me on Instagram, TikTok, Threads, Lemonade, at harrisonpoole.com, HarrisonPooledotcom, harrisonpoole.com. You can follow me on Letterboxd, which is the only social media I update regularly, at HDPOOLE124@gmail.com. Real quick, I want to read my review of Sinners because it I think this one's a banger, and my brother,
the movie or your Letterboxd review?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
The most recent one that I did Tuesday was, I forgot the outside world existed for a couple hours. I was fucking levitating in my seat. Ryan Coogler is a motherfucking genius goddamn wizard. Movies are fucking magic, man. Cinema's back, baby.
Oh, even the E.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it was just, I love the first one was, I love it watching this in the theater bordered on a religious experience. I was shaking and gripping in my seat. God, movies are fucking magic.
Movies are fucking magic.
Thank you so much to Tristan Hostetter for our theme music. Thank you guys for listening. Tune in next week for Raising Arizona.
Are we doing my, I guess not. This was my movie. I thought it was like special.
Do we want to do Flash Gordon?
I kind of want to do Flash Gordon.
Tune in next week for Flash Gordon.
Hell yeah.
All right. So long and good night.
Hugs and kisses.
This is Matthew and Harrison's Two Men in a Movie.
It's not what it sounds like.